Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, hey, happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside former NFL general manager Michael Lombardi out there in Jersey. Stormy Bonantoni here live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Got a great 2 hours on tap for you today. And Michael, before we get going here real quickly, yesterday was your birthday. So I do need to know, what was the birthday meal of choice? How did you close out the night yesterday?
Well, I mean, Millie was traveling, so that made it very tough to have the birthday meal because she was coming back from California helping our oldest son get handled out in his new job with the 49ers. We both have a rooting interest, which is awesome. Yes. And so the great Bill Berman, he just went to work, made sure we had chicken wings, we had French fries, we had Caesar salad, kind of stood out in the backyard. We solved all the problems. Here's what the most dangerous thing about the birthday, Stormy, is my oldest son gave me a karaoke player.
Ooh.
Which is meant for the backyard. It's a speaker, but you could do karaoke. This is going to get dangerous. This is going to result in someone getting arrested for crowd noise in Ocean City this summer. I'm just warning you. It's not going to be pretty. Berman was singing last night. We went from Peter Cetera to Kenny Loggins, morphed into a little Jackson Brown, which he couldn't pull off. Tried to do Barry Gibb, not so good. Came circling back around, a little Barry White. I don't know if that's going to work. But anyway, that's what we were. So we sat in the backyard and we both all looked at one another and said, this could get really dangerous. Because what you have to understand about the backyard in the summertime, Stormy, and you certainly are welcome to come anytime, the playlist is the most dangerous thing, most dangerous, because it comes with especially when the boys are here with the summer, with their families, it becomes a little bit of, oh, that song's horrible. Why would you put that on there? Or, everybody's judged, and it's a very, very difficult thing. Although I will say this, just for reference, we reached the pinnacle of the playlist last Saturday. We really did, because we had a very special guest in the backyard and he signed off on the playlist.
The special guest? Am I allowed to know who the special guest is? Can I ask? Or is that?
Well, I was going to see. We're going to play that. So our coach, our favorite coach, Coach Belichick, was moving his boat from Annapolis up to where he summers in Nantucket, where he's always has. And he stopped off and spent the backyard. We had dinner. We throw some steaks on. And he happened to just throw out there, Mike, is this your playlist? And I said, no, Bill, it's not, because I don't control the music out here. I got fired 3 years ago from playing the music because it was too much Springsteen. So it's Bill Berman who handles the playlist here. And he's like, oh, Bill, great playlist. So he's labeled the playlist in his phone now the GOAT list, the GOAT playlist.
Wow, that's
which
awesome.
You're not going to be – a lot happened that night in the backyard, which got a lot of people off the hook on – well, one on playlist for sure. One maybe on wine, too. So we'll see. It was good. It was a fun evening.
Good. I'm glad that you had a good time last weekend. You had a good birthday night. Kudos, Bill Berman, for coming in the clutch with the meal and the electric karaoke playlist situation, that. But when you get Bill Belichick's approval –
I'll send you a video on break. I'll send you a video on break. You're not going to like it. It's not pretty.
I can't wait. I have so many questions. Can't wait to get into some commercial break conversation of your go-to karaoke song and all of that. It'll be great. To set the table for what we got going on the rest of the show today, coming up in about 30 minutes, VSiN's own Mike Somich, host of The Handle, is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Stanley Cup final as well as some day baseball. Plus, he has an article up on VSiN.com right now about how to create your own NFL power rankings, get you set for the NFL season. Then later on in hour two, former NFL offensive lineman turned analyst in NFL and college football, Jeff Schwartz, is going to join us. He's also someone that played at Oregon, but loved and covered the Pac-12 for years. So excited to have that conversation with him, get his thoughts on the Ducks in the Big Ten. They host Ohio State in week 6. Really, really good conversation there. We've also got Michael's summer school assignments that will continue for all 32 teams. It's a no way, no doubt day. We are locked and loaded with it all. But what we're going to get started with is some headlines around the National Football League and sports in general with news or noise. Roll it.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Let's get into it. The Associated Press came out this week asking NFL awards voters to consider the following criteria when it comes to their choice for Comeback Player of the Year. Writing, the spirit of the AP Comeback Player of the Year Award is to honor a player who has demonstrated resilience in the face of adversity by, and here's the clarification, overcoming illness, physical injury, or other circumstances that led him to missing playing time the previous season. Is this new criteria news or noise?
Well, I mean, it's news because Twitter Femi came out. I mean, did you see Twitter Femi going crazy over this? I mean, when you get Twitter Femi to come out, you got news. I mean, this was historic. The way he came charging out of the gates, you had to be impressed by that, right? Look, he's upset that there's guidelines. I think there should be guidelines. I'm always asking for, like, I don't know what we're voting for. I don't want them to tell me to vote for somebody. But I want them to tell me to vote for a cluster of people who qualify, right? I'll make the decision, but tell me who qualifies. I like it. I think it clarifies something. Twitter Femi did not like it. He was very anxious about it.
He said, make sure you start giving me what something along the lines of criteria for MVP, how it's only quarterbacks, right? Like, let's make that the distinction next. The AP, though, clearly not in love with Joe Flacco winning over Damar Hamlin, Geno Smith winning over Christian McCaffrey, wanted to give a little bit clearer picture. And for us as bettors, I think this is news because, to your point, it can help us eliminate people. Sam Darnold, 20-1. What's he coming back from? Russell Wilson, also 20-1. What's he coming back from? Getting benched the last couple of games, not having a great season. So I think that this is important for us from a betting perspective. Let's move on here. The UFL, Michael, has announced 8 players have signed with NFL teams since the season's close. Rumored to be 2 more deals that have not yet been confirmed yet. But news or noise that we are seeing some folks make that transition and get signed in the NFL?
Well, I think it's news, and I think it's news that happens so quickly, right? I think that's the most important factor. And these kids have played. I mean, you know, they've played all year to get this opportunity, and there's no guarantee they're going to make a team. But certainly, I think what we're seeing is that teams have paid attention to the teams that are going on in the World League. They're watching it. They're scouting it. And look, it doesn't matter where you come from. It matters how you play, right? Yeah. So when you think about it, when you look at the kicking situation with Jake Bates, who kicked for Michigan, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't he kick for Michigan up there? You know, and he signs a contract to compete with Michael Badgley at the Lions. I mean, this is great. This is what the league should be about, a chance for guys to redeem themselves and not have a predisposed opinion of it.
Yeah, Bates was with the Michigan Panthers in the UFL. He played his college ball at a couple other schools, Arkansas and Arkansas Central, where he was largely a kickoff specialist because he was playing behind other good kickers that ultimately ended up getting drafted or making NFL teams. So he never got the opportunity to be the guy. In the UFL, he did. He got that moment. He signs a 2-year, $1.98 million deal with the Lions with, $150,000 guaranteed for a guy that didn't get a shot in college to get a shot in the NFL. Pretty darn cool. Let's go to the 49ers, who now we both have an affinity for once again, Michael. And then I know they got your ring, so you've always had that special place in your heart. But George Kittle typically measures in 6'4", 250. He said on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, he dropped around 30 pounds this offseason because of that core muscle surgery and other injuries. Quote, I couldn't lift. I couldn't do anything with my upper body because of my shoulder, my rib. I couldn't do anything with my lower body because of core muscle surgery. I didn't lift from the Super Bowl until almost mid-March. Quote, my anxiety levels were pretty high. He did say he's hoping to gain back at least 10 more pounds by the regular season. News or noise, the weight drop from Kittle?
Well, I think it is news. And look, he needs his weight. He wants to be a power player. I think what we saw when Rob Gronkowski went on the stretching program and not the lifting program, where he got leaner and he got more pliable, but yet he didn't have the lower body strength. I mean, George knows he needs to get in the gym. He needs to be able to really kind of create a lower body and have that explosion, because he is one of the true, he's a dinosaur. He's a guy that can block on the end of the line, and he can block a 7 technique. He can block an 8 technique. He can block a 9 technique. He doesn't have to block the support end. So he's a dinosaur in that area, and he needs the power to do it. What I got to get, you know what I want for Father's Day? I want one of those Bill Walsh's white. We used to have them when I worked there, 49er. You ever see those white 49er shirt T-shirts that they have? Those are the best. You can still see Walsh in a picture of that with his Sansa belt shorts. You remember that as a 49er fan. You have to remember that.
Beautiful. Let's hit one more of these here. The NFL has been accused in a multi-billion dollar class action lawsuit that dates back about a decade of conspiring with its major TV partners to keep the price of the Sunday ticket package high and therefore difficult for chunks of people to purchase in order to inflate their local TV numbers. And the ratings are there, right? 93 of the top 100 broadcasts last year were NFL games. Commissioner Roger Goodell was on the stand this week with it finally going to trial. News or noise, Michael, that like, is there a world in which the NFL could lose this lawsuit and be on the hook for billions of dollars?
Well, I mean, there's always that potential anytime you enter into a legal arena and a judge and all that. But I think to me, these cases typically get settled. But look, I don't think the NFL wants to, they want to make it so that fans that want to watch the games either are going to sports bars to do it or they're going to watch their team. I don't think they want it. They want it to be fans like me who have to do it for work, right? And so that's a special category. And I think what Goodell said, what Jerry Jones said, look, I mean, if he wanted to charge whatever he wanted to charge for Cowboy games, he could charge a lot more. People will pay for it, you know? So I think what we're seeing in the streaming services, they could. So I would assume that this is the reason it's going is because the league thinks they have a good case.
Mm-hmm. The argument, of course, from the league that this is a premium product and they can price what they see fit for their item. We have a few more of these news or noise items.
You get four game Femi with the YouTube ticket. Now, I mean, that's a premium right there. That's a premium, Stormy.
Locked and loaded. You know it. We're going to hit the break here. We'll have more news or noise items a little bit later. But for now, Michael Lombardi's summer school is in session. What assignments Michael is giving these teams who have wrapped up minicamp?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I love the warning. I love this segment on Thursday. I love to get Stormy's opinion on so many things. So we saw Trevor Lawrence get a massive new contract last week, and there's been a lot of discussion centering around which quarterback will be next. But there is a problem with quarterback contracts that I think you need to warn us all about.
Yeah, and so this is kind of part question, part warning that I want to bring up to you and kind of present an option and see what you think about it. But yeah, can we solve the quarterback contract problem? Because it's no secret that these things are getting out of hand, especially when it comes to what I would consider at times mediocre and bad quarterbacks. Not to say that the guys on your graphic, Dak Prescott's not a bad quarterback, but immediately my mind goes to last offseason, right? And I know it's low hanging fruit, but when the Giants told us that Daniel Jones was worth $30 million more than Saquon Barkley. And especially in a sport where we talk so much about it being the ultimate team sport, right? You need all 11 guys. In order for one person to have success, everybody has to be working together. So while quarterback is the most important position, there are other players that in times when compared to the quarterbacks are actually more valuable, it feels like, in certain moments. And what I would like to see happen, and I'm curious your thoughts on how we could institute this fix, is seeing players that actually have a demonstrated proven impact on winning, getting rewarded for that. Yet to your point, like we look at Trevor Lawrence right here, who is the highest average annual value quarterback in the National Football League, yet he has one playoff win, one Pro Bowl, no All Pros, and is coming off a season where he was injured and led the league in turnovers. You wrote in your VSiN column last week, the positional market in the NFL salary structure dictates price, regardless of talent level or contribution towards winning. That's terrible. Like, that sounds like we need a market correction. So what's the answer? Is it something more similar to what we see in the NBA, more specifically how we have those supermax contracts where a player, is this possible where a player like must have reached a certain criteria or a certain level of accomplishment or honor or award to garner a certain tiered level of contract? Do you think that that would be doable and reasonable in the NFL?
No, because I think the reason they're getting the money, Stormy, is simply because we can't say no. It's like the fork I can't put down. It's like you can lose weight. All you have to do, because there's no alternative, because the media is so worried. You know, if you, I mean, look, you know, you got people out there defending Daniel Jones. How many times did you see Daniel Jones's contract compared to his stats compared to Trevor Lawrence. People do it all the time. Oh, he's just as good, and they paid him, so it makes the Giants okay. Look, there's nobody that has enough conviction until somebody, maybe it's Jerry Jones, says, you know what? I'm not paying that. I'm going to draft a guy, and we're going to start this thing over. Look, there's nobody in the league that didn't like Derek Carr more than the owner. More than the owner. He tried to get Gruden to get rid of him. He tried to get Rich Bisacci and then Josh McDaniel. He was not on board with Carr. But the problem was everybody knew once they got rid of Carr and they didn't win, he was going to fire him. Right? You can't have it both ways. You want to get rid of Carr, great. Then we're going to have to suck it up and figure out how we're going to get another quarterback. But nobody wants to do that. So they just pay out. And now, like the Rams, they're going to pay double because what's their alternative? I agree. Your warning is correct. But the only answer is put the fork down. It's the only answer.
That's
so
the thing. Like, shouldn't at some point common sense and cooler heads prevail? That's what I don't understand. Why are we accepting this?
Well, because there's no, because A, the owners are making so much money, it's not reaching into their pocket, right? It's like we used to say this all the time at the Raiders. You know, you can give Charles Woodson $12 million a year, but God forbid if we order two legal pads, because the legal pads come out of the pocket of the owner. The $12 million comes out of the salary cap. So I think at the end of the day, as long as the owners are making the money, but if it was a free enterprise, if it was capitalism at its finest where you only got paid if you won, I don't think these numbers would be like this. But everybody's fat and happy. Let's go on to college football. There's college towns that I love to go to. Tuscaloosa is one of them. Ann Arbor. Athens, Georgia is incredible. And there's always huge expectations. And you travel all over to these places to win and win big. But you believe bettors should avoid that these teams' assumptions that they're going to win big.
So yesterday we went through a handful of college football futures with the angle surrounding them of all of the changes of head coaches in college football, specifically at the top, the ripple effect of the Nick Saban retirement, right? And it got me really thinking about some of the numbers about these teams. And just because a program has name value or brand recognition doesn't automatically mean we can assume that they're going to have success again this year. Alabama, for example, as you referenced, a perennial contender under Nick Saban, ranks 115th in the country in returning production. And I love Kalen DeBoer. I think he's a tremendous coach with a proven track record of success. But that's significant. Michigan won a national championship last year. They're 128th in returning production of only 134 schools in FBS football. And their win total is 9. And they're an odds on number to make the playoff. Even Washington, who will put in there, played Michigan in that title game. They have the smallest percentage of returning production on offense of any team in the country. Their win total is 7. And that might be high in this new league. So I just think that it's a good reminder that this is the time of year we should be doing our homework on these teams. Don't just assume because Alabama's won 10 games every year for the last 10 years that they're going to win 10 again. Don't just assume that Michigan, because they won a national championship last year, is going to come back and be in the playoff. There are a lot of other factors at play here. And just because a name is a name doesn't mean that you can automatically bet in on them. So it's more just a cautionary thing here. Now more than ever, with all of the change in college football, we got to be doing our homework.
I would add one more to it. I would say get the betting guide, because I think you're betting blindly if you don't have that guide in front of you with all the changes. All right, let's go into your wheelhouse. Not that everything isn't your wheelhouse. Connor McDavid has had a historic playoff run, and he's chasing Gretzky, and he's minus 200 to win the MVP. And I know you're never scared to bet the favorite. However, the Panthers are still big favorites to win the Cup. How are you attacking these markets?
Connor McDavid was a minus 150 favorite after Tuesday's game. He's already been bet up to minus 200. And I think people feel it's very cut and dry, as if regardless of outcome, that Connor McDavid is going to win the Conn Smythe Award in the Stanley Cup final. And I'm just saying proceed with caution in this awards market, because if you're placing a bet on this market right now, you're betting on two things with the scope of understanding that A, this is a market that's volatile as hell, and B, you're either betting on or against history. And for the volatility, I just referenced how Connor McDavid is up to minus 200. He was plus 750 going into that game on Tuesday. He was more than 20 to 1 the game prior when Sergei Bobrovsky was a minus 550 favorite. It's all over the place. It's eerily similar to what we saw in the NBA Finals where Jaylen Brown was minus 235 going into game five. Jason Tatum, by the end of that game, was bet up to over $3, and it still ends up being Brown winning. So just take that into account. Then to the historic side of it, it's been decades since a player who lost the Conn Smythe, who lost the Stanley Cup, won the Conn Smythe. There have only been five players ever to do it. Four of them were goalies. The only skater to ever do it was in 1976. So if you're betting Connor McDavid, and he has had a historic postseason, you're betting that he'll also make history in this market. Or are you going to bet on the history of the voters who have shown year in and year out that they don't bet or they don't select a player from the losing team? And then that opens up a whole other can of worms of who on the Florida Panthers would be worthy of Conn Smythe at this point. Because while Bobrovsky, as I referenced, was minus 550, you can't give it to him at this point. A big part of the argument for Alexander Barkov was the defensive ability that he was bringing in his two-way game, shutting down the Connor McDavid line. Feels like you can't give it to him anymore. So does it have to be Connor McDavid? I don't know. And so this is just one of those things where I say, if you're betting this market, I know it feels cut and dry. Connor McDavid, minus 200. He's going to win it. But recognize that nothing that is voted on by humans is ever a lock. And I would have a little bit of fear if I believed that Florida was going to win this series, that they might just end up giving it to whoever has the best end of series performance from Florida, which I'm not saying it's right, but I could see it happening just because of history.
I think that's a great warning.
I would say one last thing here, Michael, because I do think that it's warranted given that we're in the dog days of summer, and I'll keep this one short and sweet, but I know, like you, we're football people, right? A lot of the people that are listening to this show are football player people. And my last warning here is, in the summertime, are we betting just to bet, or are we betting to be profitable? Because if you're not somebody who grinds out Major League Baseball, or you know nothing about soccer, we should not be betting full unit plays on these sports. And who am I to tell you what to do with your money, right? It's your own money. Bet what you want to bet. I love a pizza money play. I feel like there should not be rules in terms of betting. But if football is your bread and butter, you should be taking advantage of this opportunity to do the research, to checking out roster turnover, to making your lists of beat writers for the season. Like, there are ways that you can be diving into futures markets and preparing to make money during the season versus throwing money away on sports you don't know anything about. That's my storm warning for today. Just some food for thought. We'll be back with hour two in a moment on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Next week, we're releasing our VSiN NFL Betting Guide, your ultimate resource for the football season, jam-packed with detailed team, division, and conference analysis. And of course, best bets for the year. To get the guide, though, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber. Right now, you can sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription for just $199. That's down from our regular price of $240. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month absolutely free when you use our promo code Lombardi. For the VSiN Pro subscription, you'll get exclusive access to premium analysis, expert picks, and advanced betting tools that'll give you an upper hand throughout the year. Don't miss out, though. This is a limited time deal. Sign up and save ahead of the NFL season by visiting vsin.com/subscribe now and use that promo code Lombardi to claim your discount and bonus month. That's vsin.com/subscribe, code Lombardi.
Disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi. No way or no doubt.
All right, let's get into it. Starting in Dallas, whenever Dak Prescott gets a deal done, Michael, whether it be this offseason or if he hits the free agent market next year, no way or no doubt, he will be the first $60 million a year player. What do we think?
Well, that's a hard one. No way. No way. I mean, if Jerry gives him $60 million, you know, Jerry knows he upsets the whole kit and caboodle around him, and I can't see it. I think it's just not going to happen. So I'm going to say no way. No way. They're a stronger one, Stormy, for you. No way.
No way. Do you think, though, follow up, that he gets a deal done this year? Or is it a case where he's not going to answer the phone and he's going to bet on himself this year to hit the free agent market next year?
I think he's going to bet on himself at the free agent markets. And I don't think Jerry's scared of it either. I think, look, if you're the starting quarterback of the Cowboys, do you want to become the starting quarterback of some other team? You know, right? I mean, think about it. If you're the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, do you want to go then become the starting quarterback in, let's pick a place, Seattle, that might need a quarterback? I'm not saying Seattle would do that. Or do you want to go become the starting quarterback in, another city? I don't know. I mean, I think to me, the Cowboys is still a brand name. You know, do you want to go to Jacksonville? I know they don't need a quarterback. Or Tampa, you know.
Less pressure.
Brady only went to Tampa because obviously, not if you get the money. There's no pressure. Just ask Trevor Lawrence about the pressure. He's already feeling it. They're already asking him about it. So, look, I think it's a challenge for him. He's got to do what's right for Dak. I don't begrudge him at all. But at some point, you can't eat all the rigatoni, as they told Sony Soprano.
All right. Dak tied for 8th on the DraftKings odds board to win league MVP this year at 16-1. How about this? Sticking with contracts, no way or no doubt, the two MVP favorites, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, should restructure their contracts to be at the top of the market.
Well, they've always restructured their deals so they lower their cap number. I don't think they're concerned about being at the top of the market. I think they're concerned about winning a title. I think that's the way Mahomes is, and he'll stay that way. Now, look, he doesn't want to be the 50th paid player, and he doesn't want, Baker Mayfield to make him more money than him. However, that being said, I do think he wants to, win. The same thing with Josh Allen. Yeah. And once they do win, it becomes a whole different element. So, what do they care if let's hypothetically say it's $4 million, say they're $1 million short of the highest rated guy over 5 years, that's $5 million. They make $5 million doing something else. I don't think they're worried about it. If it's $50 million, now you got a problem. You got to fix that.
Is that not hilarious, though, to an extent that the players that actually do have the most impact on winning care slightly less about being the highest paid in their contract, and then the guys that have actually shown no evidence of being able to do that are the ones that are like, I need to be the highest paid. I need to be next. I'm going to be next. The market is the market. Yeah. Hey, is what it is. I'm just going to get paid. So I find that fascinating.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, I think everybody is just always saying to themselves, look, get as much as you can while you can.
Sure. Which I don't slack anybody for.
I don't either, but it just also... Because show you exactly what we're talking about here is what's the most important thing? What is winning most important, or is getting as much as you can?
Yeah, but I'm also like, I agree with you on that other point that if I'm Trevor Lawrence and somebody's offering me $55 million, I'm going to take it. I'm not turning it down.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, I understand it from that standpoint. Well, this is apparently just all contracts and no way or no doubt. Let's go out to San Francisco, where a big talking point has been what is going to happen with star wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, who's coming off of a career season. No way or no doubt, Ayuk will attend the start of training camp in July.
I think no doubt he will, because here's what I think which really gets misconstrued in offseason, because we have so much time to report on things. The reality of it is when he says the Niners don't want him, it's completely wrong. They want him. They just don't want him at the number he's proposing. It's called a contract negotiation, right? So they don't want him at a certain number. They want him at whatever. They're trying to negotiate with him. Just because they don't want your number doesn't mean they don't want you.
There were 6 quarterbacks that were drafted in the top 12 this year. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix. No way or no doubt, Michael. More than half of these early first-round quarterbacks will be their team's week one starter. So 4 of those 6, no way or no doubt.
I think 3 of the 6. I mean, Penix isn't going to do it, right? We know that, and we know, unless an injury occurs, we know Drake May won't be doing it. So now it comes down to, and we think, no, I'm going to say no way. I think because Darnold's going to be the starter, I don't think J.J. McCarthy and his wild, uncontrollable baseball throw is going to be the starter.
And Kevin O'Connell did tell reporters that Sam Darnold is QB1 headed into camp. But J.J. McCarthy, I'm sure, is trying to put his best foot forward, get an opportunity. There have been some people that have thrown money on him to be the week one starter. I always just come back to, based on what we pay backup quarterbacks, like, I don't think that you're paying Sam Darnold $10 million with most of that guaranteed to come in and sit. Like, you're going to give your young quarterback the opportunity to develop. And people do believe that Sam Darnold, I don't know if it's true or not, but people believe that Sam Darnold, while he was in San Francisco, might have had some witchcraft and wizardry change him a little bit. So we'll see. How about as we go out to New Orleans, Saints running back Alvin Kamara. His status is a little bit unknown after skipping the final practice of minicamp last week, and his agent did tell NFL Network this was contract related. He's set to make $10.2 million in base salary this season, but just $1 million of it guaranteed. No way or no doubt, Kamara deserves a new deal.
Well, there's no doubt he deserves to have the money guaranteed. I think there's a definite trend here that we need to understand. Everybody on the New Orleans Saints in their salary hierarchy has had their paragraph 5 guaranteed except for Kamara. And why is that? Well, because Kamara, they don't want to put any more salary cap debt onto their already high salary cap debt going into next year. Remember, the Saints are the credit card team of the NFL. They've been doing this for 10 years, and they've gotten away with it because the cap keeps going up. So they just keep signing guys, they go in, they guarantee paragraph 5, they lower their base, and they just keep moving along. Just keep moving along. But this year, they decided not to move along with Kamara, which is surprising. I don't know why that is. Do they feel like they don't want to put more money into a back? I think it's the same thing going on with the Rams and Matthew Stafford. They don't want to have to put more money into a guy who may have a bad elbow. They may not want to put more money into Kamara. He may have an injury that we don't know about that the club feels like, well, he's not going to be around here very long.
Turns 29 next month as well. His rushing yards prop for the season set at 625.5. Rushing touchdowns number 4.5. And the Saints, as I referenced earlier, plus 340 in the NFC South. Let's hit one more here quickly. No way or no doubt, Michael, the Lakers should consider hiring Monty Williams, who's just let go from the Pistons for their vacant head coach position.
No. I mean, look, you got to come in. You got to come in with some clout, right? You got to come in with some credibility. And Monty won coach of the year. I get all that. I could see the Lakers saying, look, we don't have to pay him very much. You know, I mean, depending on his contract, we don't have to pay him. But I would say no, because you just won't have that same credibility in the locker room that you need to have.
Michael, scale of 1 to 10, what's the attractiveness level of the Lakers head coaching job, where it sits in 2024?
Well, if you listen to the media, it's a 10. If you listen to people around the league, it's about a 3 or a 4. Think about that. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of problems you can't control.
It says a lot about the state of the franchise that is, you know, one of the more historic and greatest legacies in sport. So interesting for sure. We will see ultimately who ends up getting the head coaching job. J.J. Redick, of course, the name that has been thrown around the most since the whole Dan Hurley debacle has been set to bed. We're going to hit the break when we come back. Excited to be joined by Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman, now college football and NFL analyst. Get some of his thoughts on big picture topics in the sport. Particularly excited to get his thoughts on Oregon joining the Big Ten. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are wrapping up this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And like we always do, the last segment of the day, it is time for our pro tip of the show. Every single show here at VSiN does these each and every day. You can find them at VSiN.com, searchable by show and by sport. But today, Michael, we have Jeff Schwartz, who came on in the last segment, who fully unbeknownst to him endorsed a storm warning that I had from earlier in the show, which we thought would just make for a good pro tip today, if we want to throw that up there. During the dog days of summer, let's avoid betting just to bet, okay? If you are not somebody who is handicapping baseball or soccer, you're grinding it out through the season, let's be cautious placing a full unit wager just because it's something to bet. Just because a sport is there, Michael, does not mean we have to throw money on it. Believe it or not. I know that's crazy, but we don't have to do it.
No. We're not all Will Hills. We don't have to bet everything. He's good at it. You're not. So accept it. Move on. I agree. You know, and look, let's face it. I think this is the perfect time. We have the betting guide coming out next week.
Yes.
You need to really buy that. Use the promo code Lombardi to sign up for that. You need to take 2 weeks, sit on the beach, read the guide, you know, go through the teams, make sure that you're not wasting money. Even if it's pizza money, don't waste it, right? It's a good pizza. Why would you give up a good pizza for just a ridiculous bet? Think about it, you know, and do your study. Because, look, like what Jeff Schwartz said about Oregon, my son coaches there. Like, I know Oregon. You know, I know some other programs. But you got to really know the programs in college football to understand who can be it. And I thought one of his best lines was that there's a small amount of teams that are truly competing for the title. Look, Michael Penix didn't take anybody by storm last year. It wasn't a surprise. He was good the year before. Washington, look at all the guys that got drafted. Yep. We knew Washington was going to be good. We just didn't know Washington could beat Oregon twice. Mm. Let's be clear. We didn't think that could happen. So you're dealing with a small group of teams that you know. And with this transfer portal and the changes in coaches, it could take a little bit of time for some of these teams that we think, as you mentioned in the storm warning, are going to be able to compete at a high level. They're going to need some time to get situated.
This is the most like transformational change that I can think of in the sport in my lifetime. When you think of the conference realignment and how much shifting there is, the Big 12 the last 2 years with the teams that they have had come in and out of the league, you have the head coaching turnover that we've talked about a lot over the last 2 days. And then to your point, the transfer portal and how much player it's free agency in college football, how much players are just able to leave on a whim essentially because they're available to. And it's just something that in my mind, if you are somebody who is a college football better or you are an NFL better and you're not a baseball better and you're not a Euro soccer better, I did not expect starting our segment with Jeff, bless his heart, love him to death, saying that he's sweating Albania, right? Like that was not the thought that I had when we came into that segment. But this is such a good golden opportunity time of year to get your prep in and to research those rosters. And who knows, you might be going through a schedule and see a look ahead spot or, you know, different things on a schedule you weren't anticipating. And then you can go in your calendar and mark a date out. Hey, be aware of this as we're approaching this week in the schedule. This is the time that you can do those things. So again, VSiN pro tips available at VSiN.com. Let's close out the show today looking ahead a little bit ourselves to the NFL. We've had week one lines up for a little over a month now. And with that, we have seen which teams are getting bet. So a few of these, I'm curious if any of these surprise you or not where we're sitting right now. And again, these are lower limits to this point than what we're going to see as we get closer to game time. Things are going to change inevitably between now and training camp, preseason, week one. But a couple of these that we'll throw up on one graphic here first. We got 98% of bets on the Chargers laying 3 against the Raiders. 95% of the bets coming in on the Seattle Seahawks -4.5 at home against Denver. 95% on the Lions laying 3.5 against the Rams in a rematch of that postseason game this past year. And 93% laying a point with the New York Giants against Minnesota. Any of these surprise you, fade or follow some of the high percentage bets here?
Well, I think so we know there's bet limits at this time of the year, okay, because of the uncertainty with teams and injuries and all that. So most of this money is coming from people who handicap for a living. This doesn't make them smarter than us. They just do this for a living, and they want to jump on a number. They could care less about the team. What shocks me is this Charger line. I think this line could go, I think what us have to do as a betting network and giving out advice is what line is going to move. I think even though 95% of the money is coming in on the Lions at 3.5, I think the Rams are going to get action. That line could go down to 3. Mm. I think it's awfully attractive at 3.5 in a game that was decided by 1 point where both teams we know will be healthy in the opener because of the way they practice in the preseason. I would look at lines that potentially could move. I see that Seahawk line at 4.5. I think it's going to depend a lot on what Bo Nix looks like in the preseason. right? Does he look better? Is he playing well? This Giant line could move too, because if the Giants offense looks like they did in minicamp based on what we were talked about, you got some issues here. So I think for us, where can you predict the line movement to go? What could happen? Like the Cardinals, there's 85% of the money on the Cardinals getting 7 against Buffalo. I think that's perception of the Cardinals. They played everybody tough. They're healthy this year. Not that they're going to be better. The uncertainty at wide receiver for Buffalo seems to dominate the airwaves. There's all circumstances that go into it. And remember this, Stormy. Opening day, you've got to look at the coaching and the preparation more than the actual matchup.
That's a great one, though, that you mentioned there with the Cardinals getting 7 in Buffalo, because there is this perception right now that the Cardinals, to your point, last year, they were scrappy. They were in a lot of games. Kyler Murray is going to be healthy from day one of this year versus having to come in midseason last year. And then with Buffalo, hey, this is a team that can they really do it? You know, they lost a lot of pieces last year. This is going to be such a crunch time type of a season for Sean McDermott. Maybe they're not as good as we think we are. Maybe that window is closing for Buffalo. And it's very, very interesting. Some other ones that are in like the 80 to 88% range here. The Ravens getting 3 at Kansas City in the opener rematch of the AFC Championship game. A lot of people liking Baltimore with the additions that they have made. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 88% of the bets coming in on the Bucs laying 3.5 against Washington as they introduce their new young quarterback, Jaden Daniels. And one more there, 80% on the Philadelphia Eagles -1 against the Packers. That game on a Friday in Brazil. Eagles taking a lot of money there.
Yeah, it's not surprising. I mean, I don't know how to handicap that one. I don't know enough. You got to do some digging here on want to see the Packers in preseason, the whole environment. You know, they've eliminated the green from the uniform because they were afraid because of all the turf battles and some of the things that go on down in Brazil that I think they're worried about that for some reason. So I think it's an interesting game. The altitude's not going to be a problem. It's something that the teams can handle. But for me, I look at that Rams-Lions game. I think that's the great one. It's Sunday night. I'm shocked they're giving you the hook in this game. I don't think it's going to, you know, I don't think it's going to last very long, because I think at the end of the day, these games come down to a field goal. Mm. And I think with Matthew Stafford being healthy, their offensive line, you know, when the Rams are healthy, they're good. They're good. They can go. And the Lions are good too. But I think when you give Sean McVay enough time to prepare, and as the Lions work through some of their secondary things that they have to work through, you know, it could open up a hole.
Very, very interesting. A few of these are. And I also look at that Ravens +3 at Kansas City, just because we've talked a lot about how Kansas City can, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of that hangover period. They've had a lot of offseason issues. Maybe they come out a little bit slower. I feel like, especially based on the last couple of years, they've been slower starting and they close with incredible closing speed and winning games when they have to win them. So maybe early on in the season is a time you're willing to take some underdogs a little bit more. Okay, so we're wrapping up the show here, Michael. What's on the agenda tonight? You got the next couple of days off. Are we hitting karaoke again in the backyard with Bill? What's the word?
No, we're going to all go out. We're going to have a legit, we're going to have a birthday celebration dinner, just the four of us. So we'll enjoy that. That'll be great. Wonderful. And then I'm going to travel. I'm going to travel to the West Coast and spend a little time with my son on Friday. I'm going to travel tomorrow and see him. And then I'll be back on the show on Sunday from his house. And then I'm going to have a speech in Los Angeles. I have a book presentation in San Diego for the next 2 days. So I'll see you next Wednesday when I get back. You're going to enjoy the weekend. You got it made. You got it. Finally got some weekends. You can rest on the couch. You can live a life. I enjoy that.
You know what's funny, really, Michael? Can. So last week, obviously, was my first weekend off. This week, 2 in a row. Who am I? Next week, I'm going to Disneyland with my little sister. So I've only had 2 weeks off, and then I'm going to be back on a plane again anyways. It's like I can't get enough of it. Apparently, I must love travel. No, not so much. But I will bring joy to a 10-year-old child. That is what I will do.
There you go. That's right. That's all that matters. And there's nothing like, look, it's the happiest place on earth. Why wouldn't you want to go?
Yes, exactly. Awesome stuff. Appreciate you, my friend. I'm glad that you had a good happy birthday. Happy birthday as well to Mike Somich, who joined us on the show. It for us. But stick around here on VSiN. Patrick Maher and the Sharp Money Crew are up next. And if you're watching on DraftKings Network, get ready for Pablo Torre Finds Out. Have a great day.